Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a great day today. We are talking about the London Baptist Confession, Chapter 9 today on free will. The title of the chapter is a little bit confusing because people tie it into libertine free will or just the philosophical idea of free will and confuse the idea in the pop level discussion. And so we're going to clear the air a little bit and talk about the will tied to the nature. And we're going to see the difference that the Reformers saw in the will pre and post fall, and how the will is always tied to the heart or to the nature, and that the will is bound to that particular nature. We'll check that out here in a little bit, but first we're going to talk about the monstrous regime of women that we have been facing for the last 4 years and many more years before that. But it's election day. We should be praying that Donald Trump gets elected. He is a step in the right direction. We do not want Kamala to be elected, and it's already shameful that we've had her as a vice president. So we're going to pray and get into our content today. Hopefully you've gone out and voted. If you haven't yet, get out to the polls. Men in particular have been slacking when it comes to voting for the last few elections. So we need the men to get up and to go out and to vote. And ladies, do not vote against your husbands. We do not need split households in the church or in the world. Whatever you do, have a united front. Christian men have two votes when it comes to civic order and civic voting. They have their own vote, and they have their wife's vote. Do not vote against each other. Let's go ahead and pray and ask the Lord's help, and then we'll dive in. Father, we just thank you for this day, this opportunity we have as a constitutional republic to vote, hire, and fire political leaders. God, we ask that President Trump would be our president-elect, that he would be elected, and we ask that this election would be as secure as it can possibly be, and God, miraculously, God, I just pray against interference from the left, from Kamala and her team, and for everybody that's on the left, the media that is so wanting her to win. God, I just pray that that wouldn't happen. God, I ask that Trump would be moving us in the right direction. I pray that, God, just thank you that he's hated by the right people. We ask that he and J.D. Vance would have blessing upon them. I pray for real, proper, and true conversion upon them. God, I thank you for the common grace that is upon them right now, that their policies are falling more in line with biblical principles than the other side. We just ask that you would use them to move us in the right direction, and that we would have revival from the ground up and the up down and the top down. And we would just honor you in what we say and do. Help us to honor you in our voting today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have voted. Hope you have. I don't have to wear the sticker to approve it, but I have voted. And we voted and cast our vote unashamedly for Donald J. Trump today. And we are hopeful, like I said, that he, by the hand of God, would move us in the right direction as a country, you know, away from debauchery and sexual rebellion and the enjoyment of murdering babies and all the things that go on with the left, and would move us in the right direction at the national level. And then we pray in Illinois that we would have state reform as well, that we would have elected and appointed officials here in this state that would honor the Lord. We live in a shameful state. It really is. And you can get down about that, but we trust the Lord, right? And this is the day the Lord has made. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what the election results are. We're going to rejoice and be glad in the day that God has given us, because we look around us as Christians and we see all that God is doing. And there is so much there that's beautiful and true and just joyful. God has gifted us with so many things. We want to be thankful for that. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. My people, infants are their oppressors. the little among them, the small, the weak among them. Think about who are the ruling class in our nation today, by and large. They are the weak-minded, the weak-willed, the least courageous, evil, weak people, infants in our states and in our nation. And they are pressing, real oppressors, of good and godly giga-chads, as Scott Tungay says. And we need the actual chads of this nation to step up, rise up, and do what God has called them to do. But we have had infants as our oppressors, as the people of God of old did. And women rule over them. Oh, my people, your guides mislead you, and they have swallowed you up in the course of your paths. This ancient story gets repeated from culture to culture, to nation, and generation to generation. Israel had the prophets of God. They had the law of God. They had the temple of God. And what happened? They were oppressed by the weakest among them, and they were ruled over by women. And what do we have today? We have a monstrous regime of women. By the way, I pulled that from Banner of Truth off my shelf this week from John Knox. Tried to read through it. Boy, do they need some edits to that version. They have pulled an ancient version with misspellings and everything. And Banner of Truth, if anybody from your team is listening out there, we need somebody to run that whole version, the Knox Complete Works, through an editor and do what Reformation Heritage Books is doing right now with Thomas Watson and my good buddy Matt Hartline. And they are updating the translating that work in a way that's readable and understandable, just cleaning it up and putting it for us. We're going to have a Complete Works of Thomas Watson from Reformation Heritage Books here at some point in the future that's going to be on point and dynamite. That needs to happen over there at Banner of Truth with all those collected works that have been done and in print. There needs some updates, because I was reading The Monstrous Regime of Women, and boy, was it tough to read. But this has happened time and time again. We have experienced this in our nation, and we need to experience it no longer. We're asking that God would raise up rulers. It's shameful. My goodness, if Kamala gets elected, how shameful that will be for this nation, and embarrassing. Oh my gosh, just totally embarrassing. So get out there and vote. Do your civic duty, and let's get Donald J. Trump. At least he's got courage. He's hated, as I said in my prayer, by all the right people, and that's a very good thing. Spurgeon once was so hated by Karl Marx that Karl Marx was asked by a friend who his least favorite person in the world was, and he just said one word: Spurgeon. What a badge of honor.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
All right. We're going to be in chapter 9. Just a few words are different and additions in the LBC versus the Westminster, and we have the exact same number of paragraphs. We're looking at 5 paragraphs in both. On the nature of the will, Article 1 or Paragraph 1, God hath endued the will of man with that natural liberty and power of acting upon choice that is neither forced nor by any necessity of nature determined to do good or evil. So the nature of the will is tied to the person, and there's no coercion. We're going to see that here in just a little bit in greater detail. Paragraph 2, man in his state of innocency had, keep in mind the past tense, had freedom in that state of innocency. The freedom was tied to the will in that state, and the power to will and to do that which was good and well-pleasing to God, yet was mutable so that he might fall from it. Now we're getting to pre and post-fall. So there was that freedom of the will pre-fall. Paragraph 3. Man, by his fall into the state of sin, hath wholly lost all ability of will to any spiritual good accompanying salvation, so as a natural man, being altogether averse from that good and dead in sin, is not able by his own strength to convert himself or to prepare himself thereunto. Now, this is where the conversation gets so muddled and confused out there in the world. Free willers out there think the conversation is over volition. The conversation between a Calvinist and Arminian is not over the volitional nature of the will. Everyone believes that choices are consequential and that man has the ability to make real and consequential choices in this world. That is not the conversation. And that's where people get confused about this. They get into fatalism. Calvinists are not fatalists. This is not a fatalistic document. This is clear about the nature of the will. And that's what we're talking about is the nature of the will that's tied to the person, the heart, the state. And when man was in the state of innocency, his will was free. But after that, he is now bound, natural man, being altogether averse from good, so his will doesn't want anything that is good. He is dead in sin, and he, in his own will, he is not able in his strength to convert himself or even prepare himself thereunto. So the will is bound to nature. It's connected to nature, and it can't prepare itself for salvation. If it gets any sort of prevenient grace, as Methodists teach, it's going to reject that prevenient grace because it hates the things of God. And so he can't prepare himself unto salvation. There's nothing good in him at all. And then something incredible happens at the new birth. Chapter or paragraph 4. When God converts a sinner and translates him into the state of grace, he freeth him from his natural bondage under sin. So now he's freed from the bondage of sin. And by his grace alone, God enables him freely to will and to do that which is spiritually good. Yet so, as that by reason of his remaining corruption, he doth not perfectly, nor only which that is good, but doth also that which is evil. So after you're converted, after a man has been brought from death to life, when a person's saved, when they have a new nature, they are now freed. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Your will is now freed, and you're able to actually, from the inside out, through the power of the Holy Spirit, obey God. And yet, that obedience is going to be imperfect because you're still dealing with sin. You're still dealing with the flesh and that wrestle against the flesh and the spirit. And so you actually have, though, the ability, through the grace of God, now you are freed, your will is freed, and you can actually now obey from the inside out. You can obey God with the right motive. You love him. Your heart's been renewed. You've been changed. And then at paragraph 5, the will of man is made perfectly and immutably free to good alone in the state of glory only. So it's a statement rejecting any sort of idea that would come later of Christian perfection, that only and finally, when we're glorified, will the will freely and perfectly choose the right thing. So we are talking about the nature of the will, and I am a full subscriber to chapter 9 of the London Baptist Confession on free will. The will is tied to nature. The nature of the will is different pre-fall and post-fall, pre-conversion and post-conversion. If you understand that, you understand the nature of the will rightly. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.